In this week's installment of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves trapped in the endless loop of America's political circus, where the Middle East conflict is nothing more than a pawn on the chessboard of power. The Democrats are now grappling with the fear that Zionism might be slipping through their fingers like sand, as they awkwardly attempt to distance themselves from Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's a desperate bid to avoid alienating voters ahead of next year's midterms and the far-off 2028 presidential primaries. But let's face it, it's probably too late. Just last week, Senate Democrats tried and failed to block new arms sales to Israel, marking the beginning of what promises to be an interminable saga. Meanwhile, a letter advocating for the recognition of a Palestinian state is making its rounds in Congress like some kind of political chain letter nobody wants but feels obligated to pass along. Democrats are finally speaking out against Netanyahu's government, which has become synonymous with images of starvation and dying children in Gaza. Yet despite these horrific scenes that should have been enough to unite humanity under a banner of basic decency, we're left with politicians who still feel compelled to justify their stance with convoluted rhetoric. Hawaii Sen Brian Schatz calls out the ridiculousness of conflating opposition to Netanyahu with opposition to Israel itself, a distraction tactic so transparent it could be used as window cleaner. And then there's Representative Mikey Sherrill from New Jersey, who acknowledges that while October 7th was horrific and hostages must be released, mass starvation isn't exactly how one supports allies. Meanwhile, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz reminds us that this issue will continue festering into 2028 like an untreated wound no one wants to acknowledge exists because it's just easier not to look at it directly. Then there's Cory Booker, caught in an awkward photo op with Netanyahu, claiming he was simply following directions when his face ended up obscured from view. Perhaps that's symbolic. Maybe it's time we all stop hiding behind carefully curated facades and confront reality head-on. Jewish and pro-Israel groups have resigned themselves grimly, awaiting whatever comes next. A strategy akin to hoping your house won't burn down if you ignore those flames licking at your curtains long enough. Netanyahu himself remains steadfast against creating a Palestinian state while denying any starvation occurring within Gaza. A claim so bold it would make Pinocchio blush if only fictional characters had any place amid such absurdity. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman stands by Israel through thick or thin democracy versus Hamas dichotomies, because apparently choosing between two evils absolves one entirely from accountability for either choice's consequences, or something equally nonsensical masquerading as logic hereabouts these days. And thus continues our descent further into darkness, wherein Democrats struggle valiantly or vainly, balancing messages about military aid reductions versus strategic protection needs, all while knowing full well they hold neither White House nor congressional majorities thanks largely to apathy-induced voter turnout declines, among younger demographics increasingly disillusioned by systemic failures everywhere they turn their weary eyes upon. The traditional IPAC-funded trip looms large over freshman representatives' heads, like Damocles' sword dangling precariously above them lest anyone forgets whose interests truly matter most within Hall's power corridors lined wall-to-wall lobbyists' gold-plated business cards. It seems Rahm Emanuel may yet throw hat-ring presidential run despite past slights endured courtesy Netanyahu himself. But hey, who cares anymore? At least somebody somewhere might change course before careening off cliff edge altogether someday soon. Or maybe not. It hardly matters either way anymore, does it? Welcome back, America. Land free, home brave, where nightmares never end, only recycle endlessly, until everyone collectively loses mind altogether, wondering why bother waking up morning start another day living same old dream gone horribly wrong once again.
The first world problems. Where else could we find ourselves embroiled in the great existential debate of our time? Should Sephora sell Huda Beauty products? Yes, folks, we've reached a point where the moral compass of Western civilization is being calibrated by makeup aisles. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Huda Katan, she's not just any beauty mogul. She's the kind who can make you believe your self-worth is directly proportional to the number of highlighters you own. But recently, she decided to pivot from contouring faces to contouring historical facts, claiming Israel orchestrated everything from World War I to 9/11. Because why stop at blending eyeshadows when you can blend conspiracy theories? TikTok was quick on the draw and removed her video for violating community guidelines. Apparently, spreading misinformation is frowned upon unless it's about skincare routines that promise eternal youth. And now, there's a call for Sephora to drop her brand like it's a discontinued shade of lipstick. Imagine the boardroom discussions happening over whether selling an overpriced palette is worth endorsing unfounded claims about global conflicts. Do we support this narrative, or do we stick with smoky eyes? Meanwhile, Forbes has her listed among America's richest self-made women and most powerful women in business. It's comforting to know that you can spread bizarre theories and still be celebrated as long as your eyeliner game is strong enough. So here we are, debating if buying foundation also means supporting anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. In another world, people are worrying about clean water and shelter. But here in the first world, we're deciding if our next shopping trip might inadvertently fund hate speech. First world problems, where your ethical dilemmas come with a side of blush and bronzer.
Ah, Flint, Michigan. A name that has become synonymous with the modern American dream. A place where the water is as transparent as the accountability. Here we are, 11 years post-crisis, and it seems like Flint's residents are still living in a quaint little dystopia where clean water is more of an urban legend than a basic human right. Melissa Mays, one of the many locals who have been blessed with a grab bag of diseases thanks to their tap water, has declared she may never trust her faucets again. And why would she? After all, nothing screams safe quite like yellow water, with a bouquet reminiscent of rotten eggs, unless filtered. But don't worry, officials assure us it's perfectly fine now. Just ignore your senses and medical history. The city proudly announced its triumph over lead pipes, declaring them replaced, and celebrating this victory lap, while residents continue to play Russian roulette every time they turn on the tap. The EPA even lifted its emergency order because if you repeat something enough times, maybe it becomes true, or at least that's how government magic works. Remember when Flint decided to cut costs by switching their water supply to the local river? Ah yes, those were simpler times when bacteria and lead were just charming additions to your daily hydration routine. It only took them until October 2015 to realize perhaps Detroit's system was slightly less lethal. But progress marches on. A landmark settlement ensured new pipes for everyone, eventually, and some financial compensation for those under 18 during this delightful chapter in municipal mismanagement. It's almost heartwarming how settlements can put a price tag on trauma and health issues. Meanwhile, activists continue their Sisyphean struggle against indifference disguised as bureaucracy. They remind us that lead pipe problems aren't exclusive to Flint. They're just more noticeable here because wealthier communities have better camouflage or maybe just functioning infrastructure. Flint Mayor Sheldon Neely optimistically claims they're moving from crisis to recovery, encouraging residents to trust but verify by using filters indefinitely. Because what's recovery without perpetual skepticism? For individuals like Nakia Wakes, whose life was irreversibly altered by decisions made far above her pay grade, there's no going back. But hey, at least there's solace in knowing that justice delayed isn't justice denied. It's just another day in paradise where accountability takes extended vacations. In this brave new world called Flint, hope springs eternal from bottled waters distributed by volunteers rather than taps. Perhaps one day they'll achieve what seems impossible, restoring faith in something as simple as turning on the faucet without fear, a utopian fantasy indeed.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the futility of existence, one wellness trend at a time. Today, we're sipping on the latest TikTok sensation, the cortisol cocktail. According to CNN's article titled Cortisol Cocktail, this vibrant elixir is supposed to lower stress hormones and boost energy. But does it really, or is it just another concoction in our endless quest for meaning? Ah, cortisol. The hormone that makes us feel alive by reminding us we're perpetually stressed out. It's like Mother Nature's way of saying, hey, remember when you were being chased by saber-toothed tigers? Good times. Now, instead of real threats, we have email notifications and social media trends keeping our cortisol levels sky high. Enter the cortisol cocktail, a mix of coconut water, citrus juice, and salts. promising to calm our adrenal glands with all the nutritional prowess of a well-balanced fruit salad. And who wouldn't want to drink their way to tranquility? After all, if there's anything we've learned from centuries of human history, it's that quick fixes are always foolproof. But wait, Dr. Lina Wen from CNN tells us there's no scientific evidence supporting these claims. Apparently, consuming extra nutrients beyond what your body needs won't magically transform you into a Zen master. Who knew? Perhaps because our bodies aren't actually malfunctioning. They're just confused by modern life's absurdity. And let's not forget adrenal fatigue, a condition as scientifically recognized as unicorn flu. The symptoms are real, fatigue, anxiety, but blaming your adrenal glands is like blaming your phone for dropping calls when you're in a tunnel. Maybe it's not your glands. Maybe it's life that's malfunctioning. So why do people swear by this colorful potion? Could it be the placebo effect? A testament to humanity's ability to convince itself that drinking glorified orange juice is revolutionary self-care? Or perhaps it's simply comforting to believe we're doing something proactive about our existential dread. Of course, before you rush out to buy coconut water in bulk, remember some folks should tread carefully. If you've got kidney disease or diabetes, or you're just allergic to fads, it might be best to skip this tonic and stick with good old-fashioned medical advice. In conclusion, whether you're mixing up a cortisol cocktail or pondering life's big questions over an actual cocktail with alcohol, remember, sometimes there are no easy answers, just more questions served with a side of irony. Join us next time on the Existential Crisis Hour as we continue exploring how humans cope with existence one dubious health trend at a time. Until then, keep questioning everything and maybe have some water while you're at it.
In the relentless pursuit of profit, society has become a grotesque parody of itself. The capitalist's fever dream takes on a new form as President Donald Trump, in his infinite wisdom, tightens the noose around global trade with the suspension of the de minimis exemption. This loophole once allowed smaller parcels to slip into American hands duty-free, feeding an insatiable consumerism that devours goods at an alarming rate. The world watches as Chinese megashippers like Shein and Temu are forced to confront this new reality. Their cheap trinkets and fast fashion were once the opiates for the masses, delivered in droves without so much as a whiff of tax. Now, they must navigate a labyrinthine system designed to extract every last cent from their operations, a testament to how far we will go to protect domestic interests under the guise of cracking down on illicit activities. Trump's executive order is hailed as a victory against evasion and deception. Yet beneath this veneer lies a far more sinister truth. It is yet another mechanism by which lower-income households are crushed underfoot. Nearly half of these duty-free packages found their way into America's poorest zip codes. An ironic twist in which those who can least afford it now face rising costs for their meager comforts. As Temu scrambles to overhaul its shipping model, and Amazon boasts about maintaining rock-bottom prices amidst chaos, one cannot help but marvel at the absurdity. The very systems built to satiate our ravenous appetites now threaten to choke us with their own complexity and greed. Meanwhile, CBP processes millions of shipments daily, a staggering number that underscores our dependence on foreign goods even as we rail against them. The tariffs imposed by Trump's decree promise only further strain on wallets already stretched thin. This dance with disaster continues unabated. Companies stockpile goods like doomsday preppers, while consumers brace themselves for inevitable price hikes. It is an intricate ballet where profit reigns supreme over all else, where humanity willingly sacrifices sense at capitalism's altar. In this fever dream landscape shaped by executive orders and trade wars, there exists no room for mercy or reprieve, only cold calculations driven by market forces beyond comprehension. And so society marches onward toward collapse. Blindfolded participants in a macabre spectacle, orchestrated by those who wield power without consequence or conscience.